Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We got a new hat out front. We got a new website, a new platform. All of it brought to you by our friends at Blondell Miller Schuler. You can find them at damngoodlawyer.com and our friends at Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, the tasty chicken that I'll be eating this weekend. Man, I used to come down to Nashville a couple times a year and put the Fang Fingers on, and Barry Trotz and I would hang out and have a post-game beer down in his little lair underneath the arena and maybe sneak in for a Jimmy Buffett concert and a hootenanny up on the strip. And John Glennon was covering all things predatorial back in the day and has covered Nashville sports for the better part of two decades. Now with Broadway Sports, and you can find him at Glennon on Sports. Is that correct?
At Glennon Sports.
It's Glennon on Sports for me, but either way, Broadway Sports Media. What's going on, man? How are you? I have a very, very busy dance card this week because I've just made so many friends in Nashville over like 25 years of football and Eddie George and all of these things going on. I want to catch up with all you guys. And more than that, the Zoom thing's kind of fun, man. I feel like I'm in the press box up there. They're about to serve me some Nashville barbecue.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a treat to be on with you again, Nestor. Things are going pretty well down here. Would like to be getting up this weekend and then seeing you up in the press box up in Baltimore. But times are tough on the travel front with COVID these days. So we'll stick around these parts. But should be a great game. Looking forward to it.
Man, you're a grizzled old sports writer guy who's done everything. And, you know, 5 years ago we had riots here. And, you know, I don't have a press pass for the Orioles. Angelos took it away from me telling the truth. And that happened 15 years ago.
No more truth from me.
Well, we need more truth, right? And the outside, you're allowed to tell the truth. Never on the inside. Never at the .com. So 5 years ago we had a gamer for no one, right? Luke went out to that game against the White Sox, and it led the news after the riots, and I thought, that's the damnedest thing, right? Having a game for no one. Luke experienced that. Had 25 sports writers were there or whatever, a couple cops, ball boy. Then I thought, that'll be the only time that'll ever happen. You know, here we are. You know, I flew down to Houston first week of September and sat up on the roof, you know, at the NRG where we've seen Super Bowls and the whole deal. And the bizarreness of it. Then I went down to D.C. and I did Philly, where I drove. Dude, I begged off last week, Indianapolis, Foxborough. I've missed 7 Ravens games in the history of the Ravens. I'm not going anymore either. We have one press pass at home. Luke sits in that seat here. So I've been to 3 of the games. I'm watching it on TV like everyone else. Every single part of all of this is so bizarre, right?
It really is, and I guess this is back to no fans in Baltimore this weekend as well. You know, the Titans had been steadily increasing their attendance a little bit, you know, during each of the past few home games, you know, so you started to get a little of that environment back, you know, and instead of just, you know, 10 people out hear every single fan and what his dialogue was from the press box, you know, it was starting to feel a little bit more like a game. You know, with maybe 15,000 fans here in Nashville last few weeks. But things will be back to what they were at the beginning of the year. I know when the Titans are up in Baltimore this week. So, yeah, it's a strange feeling. And from our point of view, you know, from you and I in the media, you talk about the press box. Really, the advantage for us in the past, you know, in attending these games, obviously, was we would have locker room access afterwards. We would talk to players, whoever we wanted to, after the game. We would get insights from them, and it's a completely different story now. Unfortunately, you know, the team brings a handful of players, a few representatives out there, and you don't get the same kind of access. So it's been an adjustment, I think, you know, not only for the athletes but certainly for us in the media too.
Are they ever going to let us back in?
I certainly hope so. I'm sure they're pretty happy the way things stand right now, to be honest. But I know we're going to push to get back in there because, I think it brings so much more information and insight to the fans, and that's what the bottom line is. I think the NFL wants as much insight and personality and information as it can get out there. So hopefully it will return.
These Zoom things are like hostage videos, aren't they? Not you and me, but I'm talking about press conferences. You and I are just BSing, having a cup of coffee here from Royal Farms. You know, like when I see these Zoom press conferences, every one of them, it looks like Chad Steele's grabbed the guy by his ear and pulled him and sat him down, and it feels like they got, it's like, speak, answer the question. And I for me, like the DC game, and that was the second road game, the second game I went to, that press box is so horrific down in the corner and so low, you can't really even see the game. I mean, you're like, you're not there to see the game. I see it in the stadium. I'm a ticket holder. I am in the middle of the end zone in the front row. So I literally, Marvin Lewis told me to get the seat next to where the game film is from, right? So I have sat next to the coach's camera for 22 years at every home game in snow, rain, wind, sun, all of that, right? So seeing the game every week from my vantage point of the first row between the uprights, I see when players are open, I see holes. So like I just see the game so well. TV has been shell-shocking to me. And I said this to Dick Cass, the president of the Ravens, about 2 months ago. I said, Dick, if you watch the game on TV, you're not watching the game, you're watching the ball. You know, if you can't see the secondary, you're not seeing the game, you're just watching the ball.
Right. And I think that's why, you know, and especially in the last several years, I think that, you know, the NFL Game Pass has become so popular and getting that all 22 look at things, which makes a huge difference, you know, when you're trying to analyze the game. Because as you say, when you're watching on TV, the focus is so narrow. But when you open it up, you can see things like blocking schemes. You can see how the secondary is moving, you know, how linebackers were pulled in if there was a fake to the running back and opened up space behind them. So many more things. And I think that's, you know, that NFL Game Pass has become much more popular, not only for the media, but, you know, just for fans as well who want to get a better understanding of the game.
Well, I hope that we're all trying to get a better understanding of all of this, including COVID. John Glennon is here. Glennon Sports, not Glennon on Sports. I keep seeing an extra O there. Glennon Sports, GLNNON Sports, Glenn on Sports. There you go, Glennon Sports. For you with COVID and where the league is, and like I had Jimmy Wyatt on earlier and wearing his Dodger blue, and, you know, baseball finished, hockey finished, basketball finished. I don't know what the President of the United States is going to do, in regard to the military over the next 6 weeks to know whether they're going to finish or not. But I know COVID came real early to Nashville and to the Cumberland River down there in the bubble. And in other places, I mean, the Browns are doing Zoomy Zoom all week. The Ravens had the Marlon Humphrey thing 2 weeks ago. I'm concerned they're going to get a Super Bowl in the way that they want to. And I know they think that they're the biggest dog in the house and they're the NFL and they have no buys built into this thing. I don't want this to turn into the Eddie Fainter All-Stars, John. I mean, I sort of felt that way about baseball. It was sort of like a tournament, not like a season. And with football, if Patrick Mahomes pops a COVID test on the Friday before the Pittsburgh game in January, you don't have a season anymore, man. They're going to need to do something in January that they haven't done so far, which is probably take the virus even more seriously than they have.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, one quick note I have to mention about you noted Jimmy Wyatt there wearing his Dodger blue, and he was so pleased that the Dodgers had won their first World Series since 1988. You know, at long last, the great relief he had. And I, as you are a long-suffering Orioles fan. You know, I was an Orioles fan growing up around D.C. I said, Jimmy, 88, you know, I got you beat there, pal. We're 83 here. And the thing about the Dodgers, at least you guys have been coming close on a pretty regular basis. Orioles, you know, have given us not too much hope. So he took that in perspective. But, yeah, getting back to the NFL.
By the way, it's the last year of the lease. I'll save that for a little later. Okay. This is the last year of Camden Yards lease. So, yeah, I mean, I got my hands full here, you know.
I hear you.
Because there's no way they could leave, right? Right?
Gosh, I right? hope not. Right? I'd hate to see it. I'd hate to see it. Because that was, you know, I go way back. My first game that I ever saw was in Memorial Stadium. Catfish Hunter and Jim Palmer. That's how much of an old fart that I am.
And, I was probably – was that the playoff game in 74?
No, it wasn't a playoff game. It was regular season. And I believe it was a 2-0 Yankees win, unfortunately.
Yankees Orioles. It wasn't Catfish with the A's. I'm sorry.
Correct.
My bad.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So I was probably a little bit older. Anyway, yeah. So I've been diehard O's for a long time, and I hope they stick around and can find some way to get better. Speaking of the COVID, yeah, the Titans, you know, certainly had a really, really difficult stretch. They had the first, you know, significant and really the only big outbreak so far in the NFL. You know, I think it was close to 20 people by the end of it had COVID, and, you know, were forced to reschedule a couple games. You know, what was interesting there is that they came out of it so well. You know, I think they went a week and a half or so, you know, without even getting back into their facility. They couldn't be on the field practices. The only thing they could do was Zoom, you know, and they basically had to step in on virtually no practice and play against Buffalo. Everybody figured the Titans were down the drain at that point. Well, they come out and they hammer Buffalo. They turn around a few days later and they win against Houston. So the COVID outbreak actually didn't affect them as much as one might have thought. But certainly, I think it has to be a concern for the league for the rest of the year. You know, I think we may end up seeing that kind of open week in the playoffs wind up getting squished and you know, mashing things together if there's any kind of another outbreak. Because at this point, you know, so many teams have had byes, you can't just reschedule things the way things are set up right now.
Well, the Titans getting dirty screwed our bye week up. We got thrown around, you know. So we had all the Steelers as well. So
I know.
Look at the Steelers, right? I mean, Steelers undefeated through all of this, and the Ravens now three back. John, this is a different team, right? Like, for how good we felt, and I said this earlier in the week. Jennifer Hinkle, my dear friend, works for the Titans via the Ravens, via the former Washington football team, and all of that. I remember seeing her in a press box, and she's like, "I think I saw you. I think I saw a bunch of people." And it's like, "Ah, man, the last couple of days I've been down in Florida. I got hotel rooms. We got a party spot. We're all ready. We're 14-2. We're gonna kick your ass." You know, 3 hours later, I mean, everything's over. Then we go into the middle of a plague. I don't need to get into that. But I remember the level of confidence that the Ravens felt at that point. Some sort of invincibility because of the way they won. And nothing's been the same, right? Like, there is no more Marshall Yanda. He's on a pig farm out in Iowa, lost 100 pounds. Ronnie Stanley's, you know, done. Nick Boyle's now done. The receivers haven't been very good. They haven't been the same as a run offense, certainly with Orlando Brown on the left side. Everything about this is different, and it didn't look good 9 months ago. And at 6-3, boy, the Purple Kingdom here is really in retreat, because this doesn't feel like a team that can win a Super Bowl because of the injuries and because of the way it's constructed. Then you throw in Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams not being in there last week. It was a real mess.
Really was. I know it's been very, very difficult on both sides of the line for the Ravens. But yeah, I think, you know, going back to that playoff game from last year, I agree with you. You know, when from my own personal perspective, I can remember picking the Titans the week before against the Patriots. I thought, you know, this is a team that the Titans could outscore. I think the matchups look good. I picked the Titans to win against the Patriots. I didn't think they were going to beat the Ravens. I certainly didn't pick that. I didn't think they had much of a chance whatsoever. I thought there was that kind of that aura of invincibility that you just couldn't stop. You couldn't stop the run. You couldn't stop the pass. It was just going to be too difficult to stop Baltimore. And, you know, I wonder if in some ways what the Titans did that day, you know, it would be hard to say they shut down Lamar Jackson. I don't think that's the right word when he still wound up with about 500 yards of offense. But, you know, to kind of make him a pocket, more of a pocket passer, to make him work his way down the field a little bit more than had been the case. I wonder if in some ways the Titans maybe set a little bit of a blueprint for this year. And that's not to say at all that Lamar Jackson is having a poor year. He's having another very good year, but the numbers aren't quite, you know, mind-blowing like they were a year ago. And it seems to me that maybe some of that approach that the Titans took against the Ravens in the playoffs has been copied just a little bit, you know, throughout the season. But I'm sure Lamar Jackson will have a little bit of chip on the shoulder this week from last year, and you know, will want to atone for that game, which I remember, as you do, for just the utter silence of a stadium that was so hyped, so, you know, so full of anticipation for rolling right on, and just they were standing the whole time, and they could never ever, you know, there was,
well,
just
what was at stake was an AFC championship game at home, which we've never had. Yeah. Right. So the stakes were as high from a fan's perspective as they've ever been. I mean, we had that back in 2006 where we lost this terrible game to Peyton Manning, you know, a couple field goal game, but But the last 2 years, the punch in the mouth of the Chargers and then the Titans, and I see Lamar as a learner and a trier and a doer and all that. I think we're all starting to question the parts around Lamar and saying, yeah, that, you know, the, all that works real well when you got a Hall of Famer at right guard and you've got the best left tackle in the game. You take those pieces away, the snot knocker, you know, tight end, skateboarder, and Nick Boyle now, you know, he gets a broken leg. It's been a little gruesome, and I know it hasn't been any better on your side. I mean, where the momentum and that wave that came in here and kicked our ass back in January, Titans are a different team now too, right?
They are. Well, you know, I mean, they had that great momentum coming into this year, and things started great for this team too. You know, the 5-0 start, again, I'll say, you know, nobody expected them to go 2-0 coming out of that COVID outbreak situation either. And again, maybe similar to what the Ravens were thinking last year, you know, everybody started thinking about, you know, who we're going to host in the playoffs and, you know, how far the team is going to go again. Well, you know, a month later, it's now 6-3. They played three good, very good defenses, and struggled against them in Pittsburgh, Indy, and Chicago. And obviously, they're going to face another tough one in Baltimore too. But I think the Titans are now questioning things really on all fronts. You know, the offense, which had been carrying this team through the first five games, not there. You know, has dropped about 10 points over the last 4 weeks. Defense has been kind of poor all year. The secondary has been poor. Third downs have been poor. And special teams. We could go on for the full.
Man, you guys suck. Here. We should win this week.
That's right. But you know, I mean, a name you've heard many times over the years, Steven Goskowski, the field goal kicker, has missed 8 field goals in 9 games and is somehow still holding on to his job. And that's kind of the tip of the iceberg on special teams. They had a punt blocked last week for a touchdown, shanked another one 17 yards that set up another touchdown. So a lot of issues right now for the Titans, who have all of a sudden found themselves on the outside of the playoff picture. You know, I think it was a surprise to everyone, you know, 5-0, okay, finally the Titans are going to win the division for the first time in 12 years. And, you know, here we go. And all of a sudden now you wake up and you're about the 9th seed in the AFC. And you're going to Baltimore and you're going to Indy the next couple of weeks. Things are definitely, there's a definitely a feel and a look to the Titans now that we didn't have earlier.
Well, certainly for the Ravens, they have the Titans this week at 1:00. Then they go on this weird, we don't play a 1:00 Sunday game for a month. We Thursday night Steelers right off the bat and then back against Dallas. And then after that, it go to Cleveland. So, you know, a couple of weeks for the Ravens here where these injuries, they're going to be able to breathe a little bit. The Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars down the line as well. So those are easier games. But padding your stats at this point, having this extra a team get in, the Titans are one of those teams. I don't think anybody wants to see Derrick Henry come to town in January. I mean, having them not in the tournament's good for the Ravens if they're not in the tournament.
Well, that's kind of the whole key to the Titans too, I think. And that was what we saw last year in the playoffs. If the Titans can either stay close in a game, or if they can get up, you're going to see that Derrick Henry attack. You're going to see the Titans pound that running game, control the clock as much as possible. You know, the running game is pretty close to what it was last year. But the problem, of course, with the Titans, and you know, in some ways maybe it's similar to the Ravens also, is when they tend to get down by a couple of scores, then you can't have that time you know, possessing offense. You can't pound the run as much, and you turn the Titans into more of a passing team, and they haven't been as good trying to come back against teams like Pittsburgh and against Indianapolis in you know, two of the past 3 weeks. It's been much more of a struggle. So if you can keep Derrick Henry from dominating a game, as I thought he kind of really did in the playoff game last year at Baltimore, you know, I think if you turn the Titans into a passing team, you're in a much better situation.
Well, John, you mentioned the conditions, right, that dictate a game no matter what. I mean, look at the other night. The Ravens are down 6 points. They might as well have been down 60, right? I mean, feeling like they were in a position to move the ball in the air in those conditions to get to 6 didn't feel like it was going to happen at all. Didn't feel like they're capable. Felt like they could play that game 100 times, that they don't really have a two-minute offense in any weather condition.
Yeah, and you know, that was one of the interesting stats that I saw pop up, I think, in regards to Lamar Jackson. I want to say in his whole time, I hope I'm correct on this, in his whole time there, I think he's only got a couple, one or two, maybe fourth quarter comebacks.
None before last week, right? Okay. So the Indianapolis game and lose. It's been a bad couple of weeks, and Lamar is sensitive to this, right? Like, I mean, he talks about the criticism. I mean, and it is an interesting thing psychologically what happens, because this kid's had a lot of success. And he's gotten punched in January twice and has really come back strong. I mean, after that Chargers loss, you know, he was a better football player, clearly, as an MVP last year. I think the question is how they respond now to losing an all-world left tackle and losing the guy that does a lot of protection in the running game in Nick Boyle's, a special guy, how they're going to be able to navigate this moving forward. These next two games are going to be a great test of that. Maybe not so much when – you're still the best kid on the block when you're out there running around against Jacksonville or the Giants later. But these next couple of games will say whether they're going to win 12 or whether they're going to scuffle to win 9 or 10.
Yeah, and it's that way in the AFC this year in general. You know, I think, I saw another stat pop up the other day that I think it's 9 teams. I'll go back and double-check this, but I think 9 teams in the AFC have at least 6 wins, which is the most really ever at this time in the AFC. So it's a real battle. You know, normally you think 6-3, especially with 7 teams going on playoffs this year, you think you're in pretty good shape. Well, you know, like I said, as far as the Titans are concerned, all of a sudden they're out of the playoff picture, even though they started the year 5-0, and then they're still 6-3 after 9 games. So I think it's kind of a big, you know, kind of a crossroads game for both these teams. You know, the winner certainly is very much in good shape in terms of the postseason. The loser, you know, if teams like, you know, we've seen all of a sudden these teams creep up, Cleveland, Miami, Las Vegas, all of a sudden they've kind of crept up from the back in terms of wild card spots. And you know, if the Ravens or Titans lose for the fourth time this weekend, all of a sudden, you know, there are questions if you're making the playoffs as opposed to exactly where you're going to make the playoffs and who you're going to face.
I always tell people you're a pro's pro, Glenn, and when you called them Las Vegas, it just rolled off the tongue like you've been saying it your whole life.
That's right. I haven't made it out there yet, but that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we played the Washington football team a couple weeks ago. I've already dropped 2 R-bombs this week, so I'm trying to, you know, I don't know that I'll ever call the Raiders Las Vegas till I go there and see it for myself. Dude, I appreciate your friendship over 25 years and how many hockey rinks and football games we've sat in. I hope everything's going okay for you down there on the Broadway, and I'm going to send everybody out. Glennon on Sports, it is BroadwaySportsMedia.com as well, and you know, you'll be covering the game on Sunday, and I hope we get together again, and maybe another playoff matchup in January down the line.
Absolutely. Sounds good, Nestor. I always appreciate you having me on. Enjoy talking.
Bang fingers
you.
Off to you, my friend, all right?
Absolutely. So we might be playing, you know, maybe doing that in just another month when the hockey season gets going here.
You know what? You know, the hockey thing, Trotz threw me a text the other day. We're supposed to get together at some point through all of this thing. You know, at some point things will get normalized again, but I do appreciate how much fun we've had, guys like us, right? Doing what
Absolutely.
We've done, right? Like,
we were, and we've talked about this before, how fortunate we were to work with Barry Trotz, both of us, for so long. You know, a guy who was willing and able to talk the game for hours and hours and you know, just be a good human in addition to being a good hockey coach.
A good man, Barry Trotz. We would all agree on that. Mm-hmm. John Glennon, Glennon Sports is the way to find him at Broadway Sports Media down in Nashville, Tennessee, where my wife and I hope to go down there and go over to Monell's and pass biscuits and chicken and gravy and bacon and eggs and grits and go to the pancake pantry and do, Vanderbilt, all of that. We'll get back down there and I'll hang off the second floor, half hammered somewhere, singing country tunes. All right. Glennon Sports, the way to find him down at Broadway and Nashville. You can find me at the new BaltimorePositive.com, WNST.net, AM 1570. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.